Tony. Wonderful. Wonderful, buddy. I believe we'll let you sing every now and then. That sounds pretty good. You know, here's the thing about it. I've known Tony a long time. I mean a long time. Almost longer than what we've been born. And I met him. I love him. He's a good friend. A great preacher. I knew he had gone to school when he went to college, sort of on music. And I can see why. I had never heard him sing before, but one time, and that was probably 2 or 3 years ago, I heard him. Brother, you sung that one today. The Lord was glorified, amen? Amen. Well, I'm fixing to give you something that you're not going to be glorified with, all right? I have fought this battle for 3 months. God's led me to do this, and I have tried my best to get out of it. I told him, no, I weren't going to do it. He said, okay, well, just don't do it. And your people won't be blessed. So I figured I might do this. You guys that are longtime members around here, you know that this is not a subject that I like. It's one that I despise. So take your Bibles and let me give you a part of the scripture where most of us Baptists don't even listen to it. All right? Mm-hmm. Turn to Malachi, if you would. Malachi 3 is where we'll be. I think this is, the third message in 30-some years that I've preached on this subject right here. But the Lord has been whooping me over it, and I said no. And he said, we're going to play this game again. So I settled on this right here. But let me tell you something. This is some of the most blessed scripture in the book. And I'll tell you why. Because when we do what this says, what it does is show that we believe God is going to take care of us. Is anybody having a hard time? I filled my truck up yesterday, $80. I didn't have enough to buy me a drink after I got my truck filled up. $80 of gas. Go to the grocery store, things are empty. Go to buy stuff at the hardware store, things are empty. Everything has gone up. We sat with the guy week before last. And he just said, building has gone up 60% building costs. I said, mercy sakes alive. That's a lot, isn't it? God's blessed us. God has blessed us. This I'm going to talk about today is going to be something that I believe is going to make everybody happy. So let's stand as we read God's word, if you would, to honor him. Malachi 3:6. The Bible says, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's saying here, if you let me just explain this a moment, God is saying, listen, I've made a promise, and I'm not going to change my promise. I'm Lord. I'm the Lord. I am the Lord God Almighty, and I will not change. He said, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Wow, that's some tough talk, isn't it? He's serious about this thing. Because see, what he's trying to get his people to understand, that if we do these things that he has commanded us to do, we will be blessed. And if we don't, we won't be. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? What have we got to do to return? What have we got to do to take the blessings of God and enjoy them? Because so many of us miss this. He says, will a man rob God? Yea, he has robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, he says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. You wanting something in life? Guess what? Here's how you get it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, thank you for your care of us. Thank you for all that you do every single day. For that breath we just took, Lord, we know that's a blessing from you. So we thank you. And Lord, I pray this morning that your spirit in this place would stir our hearts. I pray this morning that everything is said will be said according to as the Holy Spirit of God gives me the things to say. Guard my mouth that I would not say anything I should not. But Lord, I pray you give me the Holy Ghost boldness to stand here before your people and to preach truth. I pray that, Lord, that as I carry it to the ears, you take the message of the Word of God and carry it to their hearts, so that it is the work that you do and only you can do. So I pray for this moment that you will anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray I preach this message as if it's the last one I'd ever preach. As a dying man to dying people, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint your word in my mouth, that you would be glorified. I pray there's one here lost and undone. I pray they'd be saved. I pray this morning that we would be as you have commanded us to be, and that's obedient. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is a simple thing that we want to talk about this morning. It's very simple as I see it. Back years ago, when I came to know the Lord, I'm talking 40-some years ago, this just sort of come natural, I think. Natural. And God has blessed us where we can do and bless others as well. I tell you, it took me a long time to learn that you don't trade a car every year. I think I had, by the time I was about 25, I'd probably had 30 cars at that time. If the ashtray got full, I went and traded it. When I quit smoking, I tried to get somebody to ride with me that did smoke, so it would fill the ashtray so I could trade it. I love trading cars. I love having everything that there was out there. And I spent everything that I could get my hands on to get those things that were out there. But over the years, I tell people, when you get my age, 21, you learn some things in life. And the things you learn in life is not what you think you'll learn. It's the things that most of us ignore. I think this is even worse than prayer. I believe it's hard to get us Baptists together and pray. It's just hard. But then again, it's hard to get us to do what God's talking to Israel about here. There's a need in our life to do what God says, because out of that comes the blessings of God. And probably over the years, as I said, this is probably the third time I've ever preached on this. But Wanda reminds me every now and then that, you know, the Bible is for everyone to hear so they can be blessed. She'll remind me, she said, well, you just hurt the people if you don't do it. It's nice to have a wife who hears God. My hearing sometimes is bad. But you know, they say that the American people are the most giving people in the world. Did you know you're included in some of the biggest givers in the world? We just love to give. We love helping people. Don't you love helping people? Don't you love meeting that need, you know, whenever that person is really in need and you meet that need and it makes you feel good? I remember some time ago because of COVID, we were going in to eat and this lady was there and she said, could you give me some money for food? I said, well, we don't have any money to give you. We don't carry money on us anymore. But if you'll come in with us, we'll be more than happy to buy you a meal. I said, you have anything you want on the menu, no matter what it is. So she said, yes, I'll do that. If you'll buy my lunch. I said, well, come on in, me and Wanda. She come in, she sat down with us. She got the biggest plate on the order. Didn't matter to me. She ate that whole plate, and I think, Wanda, did she lick it out or she just scrubbed it out real good? And when she got done, here's what she said. She said, sir, I really want to thank you and your wife for buying my dinner for me. I've not eaten in 2 days. I said, well, you're more than welcome. We were happy to do it. And she said, I'm going to get up and leave because I don't interfere with you and your wife. I've interfered enough. And God sort of spoke to me. And said, that's a blessing to her. She will not forget that. And we said, we're going to give this to you in the name of the Lord. What we're going to do, we're going to buy you the lunch. And I know that we bless people like that all the time. There's times where we give. And listen, it don't matter when we give, if they misuse what we give them, all we have to do is just understand that God sees our heart. The American people are said to be the most giving in the world. And if everybody done what some of Americans are doing, the world would be better off. Listen, we want to send tons of money, right? Tons of money to mission fields because all of us can't go. So, there's an obligation there. And there's obligation because God said, this is your duty. Now, this is just Damon Lee version, all right? This is your duty, is to go out into all the world and carry the gospel. And when you get out there carrying the gospel, preaching the gospel, and they believe, then you make disciples out of them so that they can go back out and do the same thing you just done. That's our duty. Our duty is not sitting in the building on Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half, ever what it is. It is living a life that Christ is living through us. And I guarantee you this, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, when he saw a need, he met it. Did he not? And that's how he wants us to be, is meeting the needs of the people that we come in contact with. Here, Israel has sort of done some backstepping. They have done some things that they should not have done. Just like a lot of us Baptists do. I learned this. Someone told me this. They said, you write your tithe to the church, and I will put it away. And if you need that money in a month, you come to me, and we'll give you the check back. And you know what? I've never, ever, ever had that issue. Let me tell you this. This is a miracle right here. Back whenever I was transitioning from full-time public work to pastoring, I quit my job. I had everything figured up. I had a good job. And I said to myself, this is what I need to live on. Well, guess what? I forgot some other things. I forgot all those big bonuses I was getting, all them quarters. So it was sort of tight on us. And I went to the mailbox. We had an insurance due. And I went to the mailbox. There was a letter in there addressed to me from Alaska. Now, I've never been to Alaska. I've seen it on TV. I've stayed in a hotel, Holiday Inn, but I've never been there. And I opened it up. We had a $460 insurance due. Opened that letter up, and it said, God told me to send this to you. That was it. Did not sign it, done nothing, just sent it. I thought to myself, good gracious alive. Who is this from Alaska? I don't know anybody in Alaska. But I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. 4 weeks later, another one came. At that time, we were struggling some. Walked out to the mailbox. Well, when I saw it was from Alaska, let me tell you something. I opened it real quick. I didn't get in the house to open it. I opened it by the mailbox. I'll just be honest about it. And there was a check in there made out to me. And said, God told me to send this to you. I know you don't know who I am, the letter said. But my son was a member of your church when he was down at Lejeune. Was a member there. And he told me about you and what was going on. And God just told me to send this to you. Her son had been gone from here, what? 6, 8 years probably. He was a flight surgeon over on the base. And I thought to myself, you know, God knows what we need. If we will give unto him that what he has give us. See, the truth of the matter is, we just have to be good stewards of God's property. We think it's our property. And I'll tell you, we've got it made, don't we, Wanda? I mean, I'm old enough now, but everything's paid off. You know, don't know a whole lot. But God's blessed us. But we have tithed ever since we come to know the Lord. According to Barner, although Americans are huge givers, those who don't give, more than likely, it says, is people under 25 years of age. I'm glad I got saved at 25. I didn't fall in that category, you know. I missed that one. Atheists, agnostics, liberal adults, single adults who have never been married, downscaled adults. I don't know what that means. Downscaled. I guess those are those that make little income. I'm not sure what that is. But out of these people, God has called us to do one thing, and that is to come with our offerings unto him. In an act of worship. See, when we give, we don't give as if it's something that we are made to do. God is not an accountant, okay? He don't sit up there and say, okay, let me see, you made $1,000 this week, you owe him $100, okay? Give my $100 back. He ain't saying that. He just says, guess what, I've blessed you with $1,000 this week. And then what we should say is, okay, I'm going to give it back to you because it's yours anyway. But a lot of times we do some things that we probably would be better off if we didn't do. If you're like me, I get the big eye on something when I see it pretty. I used to be worse than I am. Well, I was a lot worse than I was now. I remember going by the Mercury place and that Lincoln Mercury there and saw that gold Lincoln sitting there. That thing was so pretty. And was driving a car that was paid off and turned around at the next red light, went back, and we drove that thing home that night. Poor thinking. Poor thinking. But God wants us to be givers. The Bible says He loves a cheerful giver. And you know, things have been tough for all of us. And you know, our economy is wrecked. It's taken almost every single thing that we make to make ends meet. Isn't that right? And I don't know of any, well, I know some rich people, but they're not members of the church. I believe that the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, some will say, well, you know, that's something of the law, and the law was not enforced because Jesus completed the law for us. Well, guess what? It's not something from the law. Matter of fact, 700 years before the law was ever given, Melchizedek offered unto the Lord a tenth of what the Lord had blessed him with. And there was no law saying that it's what he's supposed to do. But he did. Jacob, many of our forefathers in the faith gave unto the Lord a tenth. The church, when it was formed on Sunday, the Bible says that they come together with their offerings. So how do we handle that? God is a God who wants us to say and do what He commands us to do. But being a good steward just simply means to be prepared. I like that, don't you? Because when we come to church, we should be prepared. And what I want us to be prepared, I want us on Saturday or Friday, well, all week long, I want us walking in obedience to God so that when we come here on a Sunday, that the Spirit of God is so active in our lives that we can rejoice in what's going on around us and hear the voice of God. Like Tony just blessed us with. I sat there just shaking my head. How in the world is he doing that? It blessed my heart. That's what you call having worship. Because I could see it was well. Amen? But God wants us prepared. What He does not want us to do is to be greedy. He don't want us to live in stolen homes and stolen cars and buy stolen groceries. That's not what He wants. He wants us to be givers so that whenever He blesses us, we receive the full blessing of what He is. The word tithe just simply means a tenth part. That's what that means. So whatever it is that we have, God wants us to take a tenth part of that and give. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own family, and especially for those of his own home, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We have to provide for the family. There's no need about it. There's no doubt about that. And the Bible says a man that won't work and take care of his family is like an infidel. They're unbelievers. What they're unbelievers in is simply this. They don't believe what God says matters. I think we live a life like that in a lot of areas of our life. A lot of times it's like God says no and we say go. Isn't that right? God says don't do this, and we somehow in our own minds, in our ability to properly digest the text of the scriptures, we find some, I think they call it in taxes, a loophole. God don't want me to do that. Here's the loophole that says I don't have to do that. So, we come up with our own mind and our own way. And the one thing that gets me is this, is that we who say we love God, now I know I'm singing to the choir here, I love Wanda, and let me tell you something, I'm not going to not go home one night until the Lord takes me home. I'm going to be there with her. You know why? Because I love her, and I love being around her because she takes care of me. And I love being with her. Let me tell you something else. I love being with God's people. I love being with God's people. I love coming in and immediately somebody comes in and they're his child. We immediately have connections. I don't see my family a lot now because of the COVID. COVID has stopped us from going around my family because everybody's got COVID. But when we go somewhere that God tells us to go and we do what God says do, when we're around his people, we have fellowship. Isn't it funny how somebody come in and you automatically know? And the reason that is because we have the same Father. We have the same Father. And whatever our Father tells us to do, if we will obey him, he will bless us. But a good steward of God's property does what he says, and they do not take away from him. And I guarantee you this. If you give according to what the scripture says, God will bless you far above anything that you give. Just that simple. I remember when we received that tremendous gift for our building fund, which made me cry for 2 days, I guess. I had never seen anybody that was that generous to people that they didn't know. But you know, when I looked at that thing, I thought to myself, what a blessing they gonna get. What a blessing they gonna get. And you know, God is, how do you say this without not being able to pay the light bill? God wants us to trust him in everything. Now, everybody wants a nest egg, you know. We're not going to all live to be 100. I'm asking for at least 90. But God is so generous to us that if we will be obedient to him, he will increase what he gives you. I remember when we first started tithing, I thought to myself, well, there ain't no way in the world we can make it. Then our preacher told me that about, give me the check and I'll put it in here, and then a month later you come get it if you need it. Well, guess what? I didn't need it. God had blessed us. And I can say this without a doubt. God has blessed us over the years tremendously. Tremendously. We have a nice home that Wanda painted from the time we started building it. She painted every bit of the house. I was working like a crazy dog during the week, and we done what we could on the weekend. But she became an expert painter. She hasn't painted much in the last 36 or 7 years since she done that. But she became a real blessing. But see, we have to be purposed. And I believe this. I believe that we have what we have because God gave it to us. And said, here it is. And being wise, I would not dare think at all or wonder that if a Sunday went by, that we say, well, no, we ain't going to pay the tithe this time. It will be. You know why? Because I want to be a good steward of what he's given me. And I want to give so that the church can be blessed and the people who's in need can be blessed. And the ministry of the gospel can go forth. That's why we give. We don't give to make anybody rich. We have the purpose in our heart. That's what I want to do. If we're not here, I guarantee you they will be a check on Monday when we get back. You know why we do that? Not because we're obligated to do that. Because God's not an accountant. He is the Almighty God. See, he could account for us and say, okay, you're missing something. When we stand before him, I'm telling you, he is not going to, I don't believe he's going to say, okay, you got here, but you owe this much money now. Pay up at the door. He's not going to say that. But he will look at you and say this. How often have you shared your faith? How often have you done that? How often have you helped somebody that was in need? See, because our job is not tithing. Our job is sharing the gospel. That's what God wants us to do. But it takes so much to do what God wants us to do. And I guarantee you this, if we will give, it will condition our heart to care about others. It'll condition our heart when someone's in need to reach out to them. If we're givers, God loves a cheerful giver. And we can't say, well, this is what God has said that you should do or ought to do. We can only say that it is right to give so that God's people can have meat in the house of the Lord. Well, you have to be wise. You have to be wise in what we do. Thank God we've done that over the years. People gets help. We send money to missions. We send money to recovery areas. There's a lot of things that we do because of your generosity. We have a lot ahead of us. We have a building to do. And I know you ladies is right ready to get it. Wanda will lead the painting barrage when we get to that point. But we have a lot to do ahead of us. But listen, and you know this in my heart right here. I know we've got to have the building. I know that. But if we're not doing what God's told us to do, he's not going to give us anything. Ain't going to give us anything. He'll just say, well, just sit there and spin your wheels. But if we prepare our heart, and we prepare our minds, and we prepare our wallets, God will bless us. Maybe one Sunday morning here before long, coming up on our 30th anniversary, we'll tell the story of victory and how God brought it about. That's an interesting story. I love to tell the story of what God done. It was amazing. But we just have to be careful. If we will give just a tithe unto the Lord, you'd be surprised what God can do for you and can do for others from it. Amen. Amen. I know we're small. We're not very big. But that's one thing we've never, ever had to worry about. But in the day we live in, there's a lot of folks who are struggling. People that are struggling need our help. And the only way we can help is to be givers. Maybe we need to pray about it. And I don't know who's giving tithes or not. I don't know. I never say, well, is so-and-so tithing? No, I don't do that. I know that we are. That's the only ones that we can control is ourselves. But it comes from a heart for the gospel. So, you know, we've had folks give, and we've been able to bless some people through this pandemic because of others giving for that purpose. If we would just stop, God will speak to our heart, and he will tell us what to do. He will tell us how to do it, and he will do everything in his power to bless us. And let me tell you something. There is no power greater than our Lord. No power greater. But the rewards of good stewardship of his property is unmeasurable. Matter of fact, you know, he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out the blessings to you. You know, I don't want the windows of heaven closed at my house. I want them open at my house. And I want them open for us at Victory, for us in the New River Baptist Association, for us in the state convention, for us in the Southern Baptist Convention, for us in the North American Mission Board, us in the Foreign Mission Board. And when we do that, God will bless. So let me ask you, are we robbing God? Are we taking what is really his and spending it on stuff that if we would just give the tithe, that he would bless us anyway? I've never, ever, ever, or you can tell I've never missed a meal. That's why I'm so skinny. But God has said do it. And that's what we need to do. He is sitting there right now and saying, listen, you know, I have a little bit of schooling. I'm a little bit better than Jeffrey Bodine. He went sixth grade and was a brain surgeon. So I got a little bit more schooling than he's got. So. But I do know this, that I've learned over 40-some years, that God is faithful when we are obedient. When we obey him, he is faithful. And I guarantee you this, if you will look at your giving and ask God, God, what would you have me to do? He'll say, go back and read Malachi. Read that one again. The Bible says, if we sow sparingly, that's exactly how we'll reap. If you want a blessing from God, you give generously, and he will bless you. You know, just think about it. In the summer, our light bill runs $700 or $800 a week. I know some weeks, all the electricity. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want it to be hot in here. I don't want to be cold in here either. And what I'm just saying is we're small. We are. But there's responsibilities that we have. And God is saying, if you will give, I will give greater than you will give. and everybody will be blessed. I would say, thank you for listening to this, and I won't never do another one on it, but that's not true. I'll wait another 8 years or so and do it. How about that? But let me challenge each one of us. Each one of us. Let me challenge you and say this. Because we've got a massive job ahead of us. You give. And I guarantee you this. God will meet your needs. Your needs now. I don't think he let me buy another Lincoln. Maybe Cadillac, maybe. Well, I have one, but it's old. But I want to give him his. Because you know what? I trust him. I trust him. Because he cannot lie. And he owns everything that there is. He owns, as the old preacher used to say, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the potatoes underneath it. He owns everything. But here's what he's missing on some. He's missing the love of our heart. Missing the love of our heart towards him. So let me challenge you. You try him and see if he's a liar or not. You see if he's a liar. And if he is, don't give. But if he's truth, which he is, we'll bless him. And you will be blessed. Let's pray.